Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bien, gracias.
Oh, de nalgas.
Amy just got back from Mexico.
Woo! Oh, my God. Much needed vacation. So delicioso. Qué rico.
How's your Spanish now?
Oh, muy bien. I took Spanish lessons every day when I was there.
Did they teach you how to say diaca?
I don't think we went over the diaca. We were talking a lot about how to speak about my profession, so how to say, how to be a sex educator.
How do you say G-spot? G-spato?
We did not do, what is
G? G-spato.
We did not do G-spot. I
don't what about prostato?
We did not do any of the, damn it, what I need
about,
to go back.
Yeah, what? I was hoping to get some knowledge.
This is
what
a
about penis?
Are you using like pee-pee or pee-pee?
Banana.
Banana way. All right, so anyways, so here we are. This is episode 7.
7.
Yeah.
Lucky number 7.
Ooh.
Wow.
And we have a special one for y'alls.
We really do.
Yeah. What is our theme today?
It is how to please. I'm sorry. How to. What is our theme, Amy?
It is men's sexual pleasure 101, aka how to please the diaca.
Please that diaca. That's where I was diaca. Trying to go with, but
she got distracted.
I got distracted by the thought of a diaca.
Diaca. You love that diaca?
Yep, we do.
We love that diaca.
In science, it's called a penis.
Mm-hmm. In science. A penis astragalus. That's the scientific name, actually.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Yeah. So this is going to be all about how to, not just the diaca, it's about how to please your male-bodied lover, partner, whatever, however they identify, how to please that
or
person.
Or yourself, too.
If you have a male body.
Right.
Exactly. This
right.
is for anyone who owns a penis or loves a penis.
Right.
Yes.
I
and we're not
strap
just gonna
on a penis and please myself that way too.
This is true.
Pack
some of the
one.
Things we'll talk about might actually be applicable to strap-on play.
Awesome.
So yeah. So this is open. And so if you're someone who's like, I don't know, this is applying to me, maybe just stick with us and see what happens. And but if you really hate the diaca, then maybe this isn't for you. So, and it's okay. You don't have to love the diaca. Diaca's not for everyone.
No, sure isn't.
Sure isn't. Okay. So everyone, we need to discuss something before we go into the diaca. We would love to invite all of you to review us.
On iTunes.
Yes, we need to write a review. And it's actually more complicated than it looks. If you're subscribed to us already, it actually is pretty hard to see where to do it when you're listening to our podcast. So if you're subscribed to us, it needs you to go and search again for our podcast. So plus search, enter our podcast. And from there, when you're kind of out of the subscribed area of our podcast, then you can write a review. It's really easy from that point. So then write a review on iTunes. It really helps us to get us out there. We'd really appreciate it.
There's only a couple right now, but there was a problem, I will say, with iTunes. On the back end for a while, people were unable to, on any podcast, write a review, but that problem is fixed. There was like a glitch in the iTunes system. Apple's losing it. I don't know. I'm going to sell my iPhone.
Shit. Are we going to go Samsung?
I don't even know if I can say that.
Going
Samsung. The Galaxy Note 7, aka blows up airplanes.
Oh, yeah, you can't bring that one.
No. Let's get one of those. Boom.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to still stick with our iPhones. And yeah, we would love to review us. I don't even know a lot about Google Play because I don't have.
I don't either.
But I'm sure you can review us on Google Play. So anything that you can do to review us would really, really help us out. We would really much appreciate that. So just wanted to give that a little shout out beforehand. And then we have a couple of workshops coming up that
we're
really excited
it's
about.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. So let's see. First off, I'm teaching a workshop. This is coming out on Tuesday. So if you're in Santa Cruz, I'm teaching a workshop on Thursday.
Do you video record your workshops though?
Not this one. I have it online. Like you can actually watch my Orgasmic Bliss Men's Sexual Pleasure 101 class online at purepleasureshop.com.
There you go.
So you can take the class from home. If you're in Santa Cruz, I'm teaching this Thursday. What day is that?
Thursday,
Your birthday is the 16th.
April's
birthday is coming up. Oh, my God. How old are you turning?
I'm going to be 35
going
and fabulous.
On 12.
Going on, yes. Really, I know it's a milestone birthday, but I'm working the whole time.
I know. We always have this trade show, the ANME
trade
show. It's
the 11th, I believe.
The 11th is going to be Thursday.
11th, no, no, today's 12th. The 9th.
No.
Wow, that's we're really be, bad.
Whatever. This Thursday at Pure Pleasure. Go to purepleasureshop.com if you want to learn more about that class. And then we're also teaching our erotic empowerment. It's Erotic Superstar Step Into Your Power Workshop. We should say it in a different way. Erotic Superstar.
Get in your favorite power pose. Meow.
Step into your power. We're teaching this workshop twice. We're teaching it at Pure Pleasure in Santa Cruz once again.
On the 22nd.
22nd, which is Saturday of July.
And maybe we'll record it.
Possibly, yeah. So and then we're also teaching at Symbiosis, the Oregon Eclipse Symbiosis Festival, which is 50,000 people.
50,000 people. It is sold out. There may be tickets available, maybe last minute. There may be tickets available last minute. You'll have to just, I think you can Google Oregon Eclipse Festival, yeah. But we are teaching on Tuesday?
Tuesday, the 22nd of August.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that works 22nd. Wow. Yes. We love twos because we come in twos.
We come in twos.
Yay.
So this is this is a newer offering for us that's very much geared towards kind of the theme of this podcast is erotic empowerment, but there's gonna be a really sexy seduction piece. April's gonna be power posing up a motherfucker. It's gonna be awesome.
We'll just be praising our pussies.
Praise the pussy.
Yeah. So come check us out.
Check us out. And then you can also learn more on our website. All of our upcoming workshops are at our website at www.shamelesssex.com.
There's three S's in that. Actually, there's four.
Which is perfect.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
So anyways, we're going to go over a topic we already talked about, but let's do a sex life update because April and I haven't seen each other in two and a half weeks
seems
or so.
Like forever.
And a lot has happened.
A lot has happened.
I mean, especially for you, Jesus. Wait, I feel like I've been gone for like...
Sex life update.
News. What's up with you, girl?
Oh my. So, sex has been good. I am officially, I don't want to say officially, I'm officially non-officially committed.
She's officially a girlfriend and has a boyfriend.
I'm kind of in love, and I know everyone is keeps telling me, it's so sudden. Like, how do you know? But when I know, I know. Like, I have initial instincts about things. So, I'm with someone. I met someone in the Caribbean. We talked about this on a previous podcast, but it really, the longer the more time I'm spending with him, the longer I'm with him, it's just, it makes so much sense. I'm like, you're my person. You're kind of my person. So, I'm all in, like, I'm totally excited. Like, I haven't wanted to be in a relationship for like a long while. I wanted to focus on me. I wanted to focus on my career. I wanted to make sure I knew who I was,
It was perfect because if you've listened to past podcast, April said that she was needed to stay single until July, and it's now July.
I also had like an astrological chart done to see if we're compatible, and the woman that does it, she's really amazing in San Francisco. She was like, it's like Ayurvedic astrology. She's like, oh wow, wait, whoa, your charts are just stunning. Like, this is a powerhouse situation. I was like, for real? And I was basically sold. I was like, all right, I'm all in. Mm-hmm. Like, if the stars are telling me to do it, I'm gonna do it. So, I'm really excited about it. He's, you know, he's a bit older than I am, which is cool because I was on the hunt for some OD for a while.
OD.
And yeah, we all know if you've tuned into previous podcasts that, you know, Amy had prior relations with this OD and kind of organized
sexual relations.
Did you have sexual relations with that?
How do we sound like? Is this Bill Clinton era? What's going on?
they may have copulated. Ew. And it was fun. I actually saw a Deka video before I even saw the Deka.
This is true. Oh my God. Yeah. I actually received a Deka, a Deka video, which was tastefully done. There was a fireplace in the background. There was like a fireplace burning.
Yeah, there was.
And, but it was, you called it. He sent it at night.
Well, you also had me screen it first. You're like, I think he sent a Deka video.
I don't. Okay. Let me just be clear. I love Deka shots. I love from ones, consensual ones that I actually asked. So please don't just send me your Deka unless I've actually asked for your
Deka. Me neither. An Uber driver sent me theirs once, so, and I was like, I'm not comfortable with that.
No. Yeah, don't start sending us your dicks because we are not. We're going to delete those pretty quickly. They're not actually even going to get viewed. We're going to be like, no, I'm sorry. And they're not going to really get a rise out of us. So, anyways, I like receiving dick videos and dick pics from partners or lovers, and I don't love the cum shot. And like the actual, in person is great, but there's something about the, even when I watch porn, I'm not a big fan of the cum shot. It's just not my jam in person.
I like the cum to be in my pussy.
personally. Yeah, or on my body or like their body or whatever. It's all good. I just don't really like watching it on video. It's not really, it doesn't really do much for me. In fact, it kind of makes, grosses me out isn't the right word. It's just not my jam. I'm a little bit like, okay, well, no, I'm not that interested in that at this moment.
It doesn't stimulate your arousal. Yeah. You're feeling more or less.
So like, I made April watch this video.
I was screening the dick videos because for me, I like to check them out.
I was like, you sent me a video and I don't know.
I'm like, his cock looks pretty nice. Yeah. Oh, wait. I'm like, this is a pre-recorded dick video.
Yeah, this is from the day.
It's nighttime right now. He just sent this. I was all screening it. So I already saw the dick before I even saw the man.
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah. So, and again, we talked about this on the last podcast. If you didn't listen, we talked about kind of making our own rules for relationships and sexuality and how a lot of people think once they've touched a body, then that body is off limits for all of their friends and family. You know, it just means like once we've touched, even if it's just once and I'm not interested anymore, it's weird if my friend hooks up with them. And I always like to encourage people to question that. Of course, if you're madly in love with a person, yeah, it might be hurtful if your friends start sleeping with them. That's one thing. In my case, we just had a friends with benefits arrangement and that ended. I got back together with my my partner and I had actually encouraged before we went to the crib and I was like, April, I think you should hook up with so-and-so. I'm not going to say his name here. OD. And she's like, I don't know. And then I told him the same thing. I was like, I think you should hook up with April. And he's like, I don't know. And then of course, day one, it was sunshine and rainbows.
And it's fun. I mean, it's definitely fun and I'm excited. And it's interesting to be in kind of a monogamous thing. We have to have the conversation. And Amy was actually kind of coaching me earlier before we were recording on, you know, kind of where to be with it. It's in relationships that are new, it's easy to want to go all in and be like, I want you. I want all of you right now. But for me, I want to take it slow and make sure that we're really communicating with each other on where we're at and how things are looking and making sure that, yes, my heart's open, but I'm still, you know, recovering. A year ago is when officially my relationship with my now ex-husband was finally terminated fully. So I wanted to make sure that I'm there and I take it slow. But I'll let everyone know how that goes. And I'm sure Amy, you'll be talking me through how this looks as well. Because monogamy is interesting. And I'm not 100% certain that I am meant to be a monogamous person. I'm learning that. I like the idea of being with one person. I love relationships. But, you know, I am also willing to explore other options.
Yeah, I think I posted something on Facebook today that was asking the general public what we should talk about. And one person had sent me a private message suggesting that we do like a non-monogamy talk, which I would love to do. And I feel like we'll bring on a really awesome guest speaker for that. Because
I had someone direct message me about that and said, can you talk about how to initiate threesomes? I was like, what do you mean? Okay, I guess we could talk about that. I mean,
so you want to bang?
I'm like, bring me some Greyhounds. We'll see how it goes. You know, vodka and grapefruit juice. It really does the trick.
We're gonna do a guest speaker for that one.
Let's see how that goes.
April's suggestion is get liquored up. Do not do that. Do not do that. Whatever you do, don't do that.
I know. That was my first threesome experience. I got I was liquored up. So, but yeah.
How did it go?
And you know what? It was phenomenal. The guy, it was a war vet.
Are you getting bashful?
No.
War vet.
I'm trying to see like how to build this up. He only had one leg, and he had a prosthetic because he was in Afghanistan. So it was him and his wife. So ended up only it was a foursome, but
I remember this talk.
Yes. And so, but it was more focused on his wife and myself, and then my husband at the time and me. So he wasn't as incorporated. He was just watching more. So I consider it a threesome versus a foursome. Mm. So I don't know. I'm not bashful about it. I was just trying to build it up. Like, how do I execute that properly so it can be visualized / understood? Because they were great. They were awesome. I was just drinking Greyhounds all day. It was my anniversary. And then next thing I knew, I'm making out with this girl in a hot tub. And I was like, all right. And they're like, should we take this to the room? I was like, you bet.
Yeah, your husband wanted that threesome foursome
for
a long time.
And then we were in a bathtub. And I've been called a pillow princess before, you know, like when you lay back, like you're like, oh, pillow princess. And I, you know, I don't prefer to be called that, but maybe it's true in some cases. This case for show, because I was in the bathtub and it was like she was all in there. I was bruised, like my whole spinal cord was bruised the next day from being like banged up in the bathtub. But it was good. She was pretty good going down.
That's like a whole nother podcast.
Yes, the trials and tribulations of how to get into a threesome. Yeah,
I like that. Or a threesome, foursome, fivesome.
Fivesomes, yeah. Any sum, yes.
Well, the sums. Yeah, that'll be a juicy podcast. I wonder who should bring in for that. There's so many educators.
Are we talking like we're going to have a threesome on the air?
Ooh, yeah. Air threesome.
Air threesome. Meow.
Yeah.
That might not be very fun to listen to.
It's just a whole bunch of grunting.
Yeah. Get that dick up in that vagina.
If anyone doesn't know, what is the movie Wanderlust?
Yeah, Wanderlust.
Reference? Yeah, look up just little YouTube clips of.
It's of Paul Rudd looking in the mirror trying to talk like he's basically doing empowered language.
He's trying to talk himself
into a threesome or no, to have sex with someone his partner.
Yeah.
So it was really good though, and I love referencing that. And we've done that for quite a while now, for a few years.
Dicka,
because it just makes sense. And he gets all like mouthy with it, like dicka in your vagina.
We're doing it right now. You can't really tell because we're on the air.
Unless you watch us. Yeah, if you watch us, we're going to have our podcast recorded. We're recording it
hoping that it works out.
I'm pretty sure it will if my phone doesn't die. But we're recording. We're going to put it on YouTube. So you can tune in. You can see us in action in my house, sweating in my room.
It's pretty hot in here.
It's hot in here.
Hot in here. So take off all your clothes. Oh, right. So is that the end of your sex life? Are you feeling good?
I mean, I think so.
How's the sex, dude?
Oh, I forgot. I'm all emotional about it.
I love you and stuff.
The sex has been really great. It's been connected. So at first it was a little, I'd say when I previously was hooking up with different folks, I was like, I was getting really kind of wild for me, you know. I wasn't like, let's just do a missionary. I was like, dirty talk, let's tie me up, spank me, choke me, do all the things that I'm into, talking about it pretty freely and on a regular basis. It was really wild, fun sex and I'd bust out my toys. And now the sex with him has been very connected, very like intimate. And so I'm kind of wanting to go wild. So I have these stripper heels that I think I'm going to wear and I'm going down to visit because I have to go down south for a trade show. So I'm going to meet up and I think I'm going to bring the stripper heels, and I'm obsessed with a song by Juicy J, Bands That Make Her Dance. So I'm going to do like a stripper thing and maybe get wild. So the sex has been connective, amazing, like more loving and getting to know each other's bodies. He hasn't been able to make me squirt yet, and it's like his goal, which he did make Amy squirt a bunch. So, and I know that, and I'm like, you know, it takes me some time.
I am a squirter.
I know. I was like, I remember you telling me about it. Like, you know, I just go over there and
I'm like red faced right now.
Yeah, are you getting bashful? There's no shame in that game, girl. That's amazing.
Did I tell you that, or did he tell you?
You told me that, and then he also reinforced it. And I was like, I already know about the puddles of water. I'm like, you know, it takes me a little bit more. Should I get Amy over here to coach me through it on the end of the bed?
I've been squirting since 2003. So.
Yeah. I'm newer to squirting, like not super new, but probably in the last, like, I think since, I don't know, I don't remember my first time, but it was on my couch downstairs and I was very close. And I have this velvet couch that I'm like obsessed with. And I was like, I can't imagine the cleanup on the couch. Like, we got to go upstairs.
Oh, God.
So I was in my head too much about it.
Clenched it.
It's because I'm OCD.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a nice couch.
Enough about me and my green couch and not squirting yet.
Yes.
What about Amy's sex
so
update?
Me. Okay. So I've just been in. I went to Mexico with my partner, and we consume cannabis. I used to, like, from age, I was like a kind of such a stoner child. I was like one of those overachiever, like honor roll students who could somehow smoke a lot of pot. Not like throughout the day, but like I definitely hit a phase.
Maybe it helped you focus. It's medicine.
It definitely did not help me focus. I would smoke after I did my homework.
Oh, got you.
But I was more like a nighttime stony. And when I was in high school, when I turned 21, I I let that part go. I stopped smoking pot. And so it's never – it comes and goes. I've actually had moments where I've actually used it medicinally to, like, get really into my body. I'd have these sexy nights just for myself where I put on cute little booty shorts and sexy music and dim the lights and put on, like, my sexy whatever. Nice. I like this black male
at the time. I think we did that together once because you're like, let's get stoned probably. And dance in front of the mirror. I was like, I like it.
Oh, yeah. It used to be my jam. And the next day I just feel so good and alive. It's just, like, for me to get in my body and be really connected to it. I haven't been doing that a lot lately, and my partner is not a big – also, cannabis is not their go-to. I think they used to smoke back in the day too a little bit, but it's not really their go-to either. We both have a tendency to just get too heady, and I know that there's other – you know, there's THC versus the CBD and la, la, la. I know there's other ones we can get in our bodies, but it just hasn't really been more our thing this day and age. But we actually kind of experimented with that a little bit and took a quarter of a little tantric edible chocolate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And had sex. And I remember that some of my most powerful multi-orgasmic experiences have been on cannabis. And
cannabis is known to make you horny.
Well, and also,
I mean, not everyone, but for a lot of folks, helps with libido. Well,
and also, not just libido. It didn't necessarily make me horny. It made me like, I was actually pretty heady, which is interesting. I was like, my mind was going crazy. Mm-hmm. But what happens when I have sex on cannabis is I get so hyper-focused on one thing, and in this case, it's the touch, that I'm able to – like my sensations, my senses are kind of raised, and I'm able to just really focus on the touch and the sensations of what's happening in my pussy and in my body and whatever that is, whatever touch is happening, that when I actually have an orgasm, it is like amplified because I'm so hyper-focused on it. It's also why I get paranoid on THC too, because I'm hyper-focused on something or like over-creating stories in my head, or whatever that means, creating too many stories. So anyways, we had some really awesome sex where I had some really great orgasms, and the orgasms are from oral sex, which I don't usually have.
Oh, me neither.
Yeah. So it was like from oral sex, from him going down on me, and I was having, and it, the way he was doing it was like this 69 position where I was laying on my back. He was flipped around, so his balls are in my face.
You told me that you weren't as into 69 because there was too many moving parts.
I wasn't touching him. So it was 69 position, but I wasn't touching him. He was just going down on me, but his balls were essentially in my face. And the cool thing about it was –
so you didn't like the balls?
I was initially, and then he like kind of like told me not to, but like made a move so that I wouldn't because it was all about him praising me. Okay. And at that moment. And the cool thing was that he was pinning me down with his body. Mm. So when I squirm and shake, he just like pinned me down even harder. So there was like a little bit of this like dominance, kind of like you can't get away from me
dynamic. We all know how you like
you
that.
You know how I like that. So it was, yeah, that was awesome. I think that was probably like the highlight of our sex in Mexico. We actually we only had like, we were there for 2.5 weeks. And I think we only had sex out of like one of those weeks because, we both got sick. We actually didn't get food poisoning sick. Like most people do in Mexico. We got like an actual flu, that was going around the little beach town that we were in. So didn't have a lot of sex, but when we had sex, it was great. It was, it always is. It's always great. It's always connected. It's always hot. And in that case, I had these really powerful orgasms from oral sex that I don't usually have. So that was cool.
Nice.
Hey, and now he's gone for 25 days. So
25?
24.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so no sex.
You should get a queen bee.
Ooh.
The queen bee's coming out, and it
when
is.
When is it out? Is that new?
So it literally is landing in the US.
What is the queen bee, April?
The queen bee is Hot Octopus, the company that I run called Hot Octopus. Based out of London, England, they only have two products right now, with the Pulse 3 and the Pulse 3 Duo and Solo. So two toys, both for male-bodied individuals, folks that own penises. And the other one that we're just launching is called the Queen Bee. And that one is our version of a vulva vibrating wand. So think of like, if anyone's ever seen like the Hitachi magic wand, those big, like we talked about in our sex toys podcast, mm-hmm. but that was like my go-to. But Hot Octopus uses oscillation. So it's like medically proven to stimulate blood flow, which helps achieve a stronger orgasm. And the Queen Bee is like sleek, stylish, sexy, because Hot Octopus is all about releasing shame for masturbation, making masturbation like awesome for all folks. Because sometimes, you know, there's companies that are making toys that are sometimes they look very phallic and they're not very sexy to look at, or they're made from bad materials. And we're all focused on making it functional and sexy. And actually, I had our web guy set up a discount codes. If you're listening to this podcast and you want to buy any Hot Octopus products, you can get 15% off. Just use Shameless Sex at the checkout.
All caps?
No, it's all lowercase, I believe. That's a good question.
Try both. All caps.
Try
all
both. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. He just emailed me today. I think it's all lowercase.
And where's the website? Where do they do this?
Oh, go to www.hotoctopus.com. And it's pretty awesome. The website's beautiful, and you can kind of check out the technology information, because I don't want to bore you with a lot of the details right now because that's not our focus, but it's pretty awesome stuff. It's kind of changing the world of sex toys for sure, and I'm so happy to be a part of it. So check it out, and I'll get you a queen bee, Amy, and then you can give us a full report. It's my favorite toy right now. It's awesome.
I know. Can I get one like soon?
Well, as soon as they land in the U.S., so they're supposed to ship next week. So they're supposed to ship to the retailers next week.
By the time they get here, I'm going to be...
You can use mine.
Okay, cool. I mean,
we already shared some dicka.
So why not share sex? What's the difference? I mean, it's silicone, sanitizable, and I trust your pussy. It's cool.
Okay, cool.
We're on a trust kind of. We're fluid bonded now.
Eskimo sisters.
Eskimo time.
So should we get into our topic?
Yeah. I think it's Diyaka 101 time.
I'm so excited for this.
Oh my God. There's like when we come together, I was like, what should we talk about? And this one, I feel like we've been kind of saving because, I mean, we love the dick and we love the pussy. We love the pussy.
We did our pussy praising episode and it was
amazing.
And
we haven't necessarily done how to please the pussy. It was more how to talk to the pussy and praise the pussy.
True,
so
true.
This one is all about how to please, pleasure, and, you know, all the things. It's also we're going to even talk about some like safety stuff and health stuff.
We'll talk about not only the penis too. We'll talk about
other bodies.
Yes. How to kind of achieve some awesome orgasmic situations. So
without further ado, it's Diyaka 101 time. Woo! So I'd like to open with a fun fact, not just about the Diyak, but about all humans in general and how they like to be touched and how they touch themselves. So are you ready for it? Are you ready?
I'm absolutely ready. I'm waiting.
So sex nerd fact, here we go. So the way that we like to be touched as adults, or that we touch ourselves, or our masturbation practice, or what we desire to be touched by another person, is very much related to how we first started touching ourselves or being touched by another, hopefully consensual, partner when we were younger. So
about my teddy bear? The way that
Barry.
What about Barry?
The way that you used to rub Barry's little, what'd you rub?
Nose
on your little clit. That's cute.
A little clit. Is that a lit?
A clitito.
A little lit.
Clitito. Your little baby clitito. So the way that April used to rub little Barry as a 6 or 7 year old masturbating child, which there's many of them, it's a very common thing. Is very much related to how April likes to be touched now. So say April was rubbing little Barry's nose on April's clit, and mom was going to walk in the room at any minute. She had to do it really fast, really quickly before mom was going to run in and probably didn't make a lot of noise.
Right.
And so the same thing for male body individuals or just all individuals. So imagine a penis owner and they were masturbating and someone was in the room on the other side of the wall or is about to walk in. Fast and hard often is what they was kind of the default because it's what they thought they needed to do because they had to hurry up. And then the orgasm was like, ugh, and there wasn't a lot of noise. It wasn't a lot of sound. This isn't everyone. Some people are just like naturally like slow and softer and hard and like a really loud. That wasn't a sexy orgasm noise. That was more like a dying cow. But this follows kind of carries on into our adult life. And it's a good example of kind of the learning of our pleasure and our what we like and what we don't like. And there is a way to unlearn that if we want to undo that. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you like fast and hard, if you're a dick owner or not a dick owner, you own other body parts, and you like fast and hard, that's totally fine. And if you want to learn how to get off to slow and soft, which if you are a dick owner who – I'm more of a cock person actually. Can I say – I'm going to say cock. Cock owner and you're
can
in –
we say caca?
Caca!
Oh, no, that sounds like cocky.
Like poop.
Let's just say cock. Yeah. I'll say dick. You can say cock.
Okay, cock. Cock balls.
They're both PC.
But if you're a cock owner and you're a cock owner who also likes to have sex or play with pussy owners, quite often there's this disconnect with what pussy desires and what a cock desires because porn likes to really not objectify, but glorify what Cox like and or what Cox should like, what we think they should like. And it's usually fast and hard and pounding. And it's like Jackrabbit, like bam, 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 bam. Mm. Which is, again, if this is what you're into, totally fine. If you're with a partner that also likes that, totally fine.
I just had this conversation the other day with my not tier one now, I guess my tier
X tier.
All things.
Oh, your new tier.
Oh yeah, my new tier.
Oh, like so she has no more tiers.
I don't know. I gotta figure out what to name that. But I was like, you like pounding, I like grinding. Mm. So I was like, can we do 50-50?
Yeah, there's room for compromise. There's room for learning how to get off to slow and soft if this is something that you want to do, because our largest sex organ is our brain, right? It's responsible for 90% of our sexual response. So it's not just necessarily the physiological things that are going on that we're responding to. It's more of the story attached to our understanding of it. So I wanted to preface this because as we talk about how to pleasure the cock, they're all different. They're all very, very different. And I like to teach from the approach of that you are the creator of your sex life and that anything is possible. And I want to really, really let everyone know that porn is not the way to learn this. I'm not anti-porn. But porn really likes to show this fast, hard, just kind of like rough and just disconnected sex. And
it's the same with anal when the porn stars are prepping.
They're prepping. Educator. Right. And
that's a lot of times where people have interesting experiences or painful experiences with anal. So it's the same concept. So,
if
do not use porn as a guide for,
and if you're,
you know, exactly
how to learn how to have sex. Right. And this is the thing too, is if you're, you know, touching cock, sucking cock, whatever it is, and you're trying to watch porn stars in the way they do it. Maybe your partner might like that, but that's also fucking exhausting. Porn stars are sexual athletes.
Right.
The way that they can move on a cock is like,
there's a lot of respect for sure.
So much. I mean, I'm surprised their necks don't break.
I know.
It's like Gumby necks. I don't know how they do what they do. So this podcast is going to talk about a lot of different ways, but I think it's going to come less from a step one, step two kind of technique-y approach and more of a empowered what works for you? What works for the other person? What are the needs? What are the desires here? And how do we please?
And also incorporating our anatomy into it, because our bodies are designed amazingly. And I think incorporating some of the science behind how we're built is going to be really helpful to find different areas that you may find pleasure from that you haven't explored yet. So I think that's also a good thing that we'll touch on.
Yeah. So to start, let's actually talk about the cock itself as if it is its own entity.
There's a cock and there's some balls.
And there's a body and there's an energy and a soul and lots of emotions attached to it.
Muscular nervous system.
Yes, yes. So the fun fact, the clitoris has about 8,000 nerve endings and the cock only has about half that.
4,000. And a lot of them are concentrated
on the head.
Tip.
Yeah.
The head of the penis.
The head of the penis. So we're talking about the head, kind of like the little mushroom friend that we're talking about. If someone is circumcised, it's naturally exposed all the time. If someone is uncircumcised, there's foreskin there. When they're hard, the foreskin can pull back and the whole head can be exposed, or there can be excess foreskin there still. Foreskin. Let's talk about foreskin.
Foreskin.
How do you feel about foreskin?
Wow, that is so funny you ask, because I was just at a dinner week.
A five-course dinner talking about foreskin.
Because I bring it up. So we were having an circumcised conversation, and I personally was only with circumcised folks before my divorce. And now I've been with, because, you know, in Scotland, they only circumcise one in like 25 people, men. So I finally had my first uncircumcised dicka, and it was amazing. I loved the foreskin. It was almost like its own masturbation sleeve.
It's like a free jack off.
It's like a free jack off. But I was sitting at a table with two uncircumcised male bodies and one circumcised, and they're like talking, and you know, they both were convinced that their situation was preferred
Mine's
over the other. And they're like, "What do you prefer, April?" And I looked at them and I said, Either or is good for me.
I like it all.
Switzerland.
She's Switzerland when it comes to Scotland. She's Switzerland.
Yes.
Well, and the other cool thing about foreskin is when the foreskin's there, it's actually self-lubricating. So it adds lube by itself, kind of like the way there's like, you know, pre-cum that can come out of the urethral opening, so the tip. And then, you know, like the way vaginal fluid, there's other things that all bodies have the ability to pre-lubricate. But foreskin underneath it actually is pre-lubricated. So when you cut it off, that you lose that natural lubricant.
Right. We also need to point out that there's a lot of, I feel like at least through my years of talking about uncircumcised versus circumcised, being married to a Jewish man, obviously most folks are circumcised, and they're always like, it's dirty if you're uncircumcised. That's a very, in my opinion, an urban legend. I think that hygiene is one thing. So please, if you have any preconceived notions about either or, just remember it's a hygiene thing. It's a person-to-person thing. So some folks, it's a body. Bodies are different. So lay down your arms about uncircumcised penises being in any way uncleanly. That's a total urban legend.
Well, and that's kind of like where circumcision came out of, was for like a cleanliness practice, also just another practice to control people's bodies. Maybe they'll stop. They won't touch themselves as much if we cut this part off. And maybe this will keep them cleaner, and maybe this will prevent STIs from passing.
Right, it's not a vestige; it actually exists for a reason.
Yeah, we're born with this tissue. So, and I'm not anti circumcision. I'm again going to be Switzerland on it. I think that there's pros to being circumcised, and there's pros to being uncircumcised as well. You know, when someone is circumcised, some things are kind of easy, like when you have foreskin and you're traveling humid places, you need to clean under the foreskin regularly. I've met men that have had like kind of not like irritation under there because there's so much moisture under there. So just some things to consider, but different strokes for different folks, literally.
And love the penis. I mean, if you're loving penis, like love the penis that you're with, whether it's circumcised or not, like feel, figure out what that penis prefers.
Yeah. And you know, so on that note, I have to say though, so just like for me, I have to be attracted to a person, you know, they're attracted to the way they look. And sometimes I can be attracted to their personality first and then become attracted to the way they look. I also feel like I need to be attracted to their cock. And so it's okay, I guess, to have preferences, but I guess to educate yourself if a preference is coming out of what might be like a myth or an idea that isn't necessarily doesn't have to be there, just question it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all about that.
And I say try it at least once. I try everything at least once.
Try every uncircumcised. Love me some uncircumcised.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, so the head of the cock, we're talking about that's like where most of the nerve endings are. So when you're touching a cock, that's where most of your focus is going to go, is the head of the cock. With that said, if you're a clit owner, imagine someone just putting their mouth on your clit and just sucking on that the whole time. That would be a bit too much. So don't
incorporate the entire entity.
Thing. There's a nice shaft there. The testicles. I've heard from some people that their least favorite blowjobs were when people left out the balls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the balls, they like a little bit of sensations, maybe a lot. It depends on the person. Very sensitive cargo. So I suggest starting really, really slow and soft, almost cupping them like, you know, those stress balls.
Oh, right.
You know, in Chinatown, those little things.
Yes,
and
yes.
Kind of like moving them around in that sense can feel really
gently,
nice.
Gently first. Ask questions. Yeah. Does this feel good?
Yes
do
or
you
no
like this?
Questions. So yes. Not like, what are you thinking right now?
Yeah, definitely don't go there.
Am I doing this right? Ask yes or no questions, like more pressure, less pressure.
How
do
does this
like
feel?
This?
Do yeah. you like this? Right.
Yeah. And like, what's the meaning of life?
Yeah. Do you believe in God? No, don't go there. It'll be like,
is this the best sex you've
ever had?
Ask them that when they're naked.
No, totally kidding.
Please don't do that.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's, we're not going to get too deep into anatomy, but that's just like some little anatomy tips there on touching the cock.
And I will say the frenulum, which is, we've talked about before, which is that bit that's almost like it's underneath.
It's like the webbing that you have under your tongue.
Exactly.
But it's on the head of the cock.
So this area is also extremely sensitive, and actually Hot Octopus products, which I'm not doing a guiltless pitch here. It's for real. We have science. So the science behind Hot Octopus is developed to stimulate the frenulum area with oscillation, which helps if you're flaccid, helps you get from, because there's a ton of research that was done in Denmark about amplitude of oscillation on a flaccid penis to help you ejaculate. So the frenulum can be incorporated. So let's say you have a cock that maybe you have erectile dysfunction, or perhaps you you know, aren't in the mood, or your cock is not cooperating and it's not getting hard, or there's maybe some drugs
were
taken.
Too many greyhounds.
You could use this technology, Hot Octopus Toy, to get your penis into a hard state. It also was developed for folks with spinal cord injuries so they could ejaculate, so they could produce children. Strictly in hospitals, we developed it for a pleasure product. And I just think, like, incorporating that, the frenulum, remember that, is always a nice added bonus to having your penis.
And while we're on that note, we're just going to hop all over the place, people. So let's talk about soft cocks versus hard cocks, because this is an important thing. We're all about promoting shameless, shame-free, as little shame possible sex. And there's so much shame around soft cocks.
And it's true.
So much shame.
You don't like me? Why is your cock getting hard?
Yeah, your cock signifies how you feel about me.
Right. This is not true.
Yes. And this, there's something that, I mean, soft cocks happen for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes there's a blood flow thing. So there actually is a physiological thing. I like how, I think it's Charlie Glickman. He's a sex educator, sex coach, does a lot of really amazing work. How does he word this? He talks about erectile dysfunction is actually not a physiological erectile dysfunction. He says it's a it's a response to a dysfunctional situation. So a lot of times erectile dysfunction isn't actually like the clinical by the book, you know, blood flow issue. It's there because there's other stuff, there emotional stuff, stressful stuff. Maybe there's resentment in the relationship, or someone's been shaming them for not getting hard, or maybe someone didn't get hard once and now they're in that permanent psych out of like, I'm never going to get hard. And then they don't get hard. And I think it's Charlie who also talks about how erections, so adrenaline is like not good for erections. So imagine like you're out in the wilderness and a big giant bear comes and like, rawr! Not the time to get hard, right? So if you're under a lot of pressure and you have a lot of adrenaline flowing through you, erections actually probably aren't going to happen.
So go away from the situation for a minute and power pose. Literally.
Power pose.
Will really help you.
What's a power pose?
Power pose is making yourself bigger. So in nature, if you think about when you run into a bear in nature, what do they tell you to do? You get big. Running into a mountain lion, you make yourself large, you make a lot of noise. So power posing, there's a few different options, but you can like look in the mirror and just make yourself big. Do a starfish.
It's kind of like what they do in Wanderlust.
It is. I know.
Mia Dika. Mia
Dika. So just get, I do a Wonder Woman pose. You can do the Obama. You know, where you lay back
like
a starfish.
You'll have to take photos of these so you can all
see. Or you can watch our video, which is going to be posted on YouTube. But you can definitely power pose yourself for 2 minutes. Take yourself out of a situation and be like, I have to use the loo. And then go and power pose in the mirror. That'll raise your testosterone levels, lower your cortisol levels.
Straighten your back, put your shoulders back.
Posture. Yeah. It's like posture.
It's confidence. It's really owning the confidence there and taking time to really like
get out of your head.
Because the body is brilliant. The body knows. And we can actually kind of fake it till we make it. So I don't want to say trick, but it is kind of like tricking your body into like, no, I got this and I'm strong and just going into that.
And it's telling your mind that, which is, again,
which is your biggest sex organ.
Your biggest sex organ is your mind. So it's getting out of your mind in your headspace and getting into your body and helping yourself realize that you are powerful and you have the ability to do everything that you want to do.
And really trying to divert your focus away from the, I can't do this, I'm not going to do this, I always fail, because that means you're in your head and you're not in your body, which if you've heard past podcasts, that's kind of the number one thing that's getting in the way of people experiencing profound pleasure. And also erections, I have an issue with that too. So really get even when noticing those thoughts when they come in, the psych out, the story, and getting away from that, turning off the mind, coming back to the either the whatever it is, the body sensation. So if you're touching yourself, what does it feel like to touch yourself? Stay in focus on that. Or the breath. You know, breath is a big thing too. If you're getting that psych out of I'm not going to get hard, or I'm gonna come too early, breathe and focus on the breath. just stay with that. And it will, I promise you, it will at least help a little bit to get you out of your head so that you can, your body can kind of function the way that it wants to, as opposed to the story in your head controlling it.
And breath work is, it's not only proven spiritually, people connect, but look at runners. They can run more longer distances by focusing on breath. Yogi is the same, meditation the same. There's science behind all of that work. So yes, breath work is huge. Even in when you're in, you know, an experience with a partner and doing focused breathing, which we can do a podcast on later because it's really interesting and amazing.
We can do like a mini breath thing here. So light, shallow breathing, that like the panting, that builds up your arousal. So if you want to get more aroused, maybe come sooner, like it just that builds up the erotic energy. So that if you don't really want to really build up the energy quickly, that's actually not what you want to do. But so what you would like to do, what would be ideal, is to do deep, full body breath. So that in through the nose, out through the mouth. So long, deep breaths, really moving the energy through you. It calms the nervous system. This is really useful if you're getting the psych out on erections, on ejaculating, on I'm scared about this new person that I'm hooking up with. I don't know if I'm going to perform exactly.
Power pose and breathe,
people.
Power
pose and breathe.
Power pose and breathe.
And on that note too, soft cocks. Let's give some love for soft cocks.
I've loved some soft cocks.
Yeah, it's not all about a hard dick.
No.
And so if you're encountering a soft cock, if you're someone who's playing with a cock and the cock happens to be soft or go soft or cannot get hard, please, I would like to ask you to not bring shame into that situation.
Lay your shame game down.
Yeah, because that shame will stick with that person and you're not going to get what you want when you shame someone.
I always say, all right, cool, let's take a break. Or, hey, can I suck on that cock?
Or it's like, oh, you know, it's all good. I love your cock, no matter if it's hard or soft. There's so many things we can do. Like, we can do a lot of grinding. Mm-hmm. There's so many options of what you can do with the cock. You can actually take the cock with a soft cock with your hand and rub it on your own cock, on your own clit, or whatever, you know, as another body playing with that person. It doesn't have to be hard to have fun.
We can do some, like, I love ear breathing stuff. It turns me on.
Ooh, are you an ear person?
I'm such an ear person. 100%. And I'm like, let me get in on your ear right now to see what happens. It could be just a way to kind of explore other areas of the body and what they are into.
That's a good opportunity to try other play. The cock's not hard at that moment. Okay, what else can we do?
No,
there's so many other options on the table.
Your body's a playground.
And so when we do
Mayer have a song? No, your body is a wonderland.
Yeah. Oh, wait. That was sexy.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
So yeah, it's a good opportunity to help the person not develop shame in there. And quite often also, when you don't shame them, then all of a sudden the dick gets hard. It's like, we're safe here?
Oh,
okay,
hey.
Cool.
Hey,
rock hard,
hey,
yeah.
Right.
Cool, I'm accepted. This is fine. So praise and love for some soft cock and trying to get away from the shame when the cock doesn't perform the way that you dreamed it would. And this is also the idea of goal-oriented sex. The minute that when we can have sex that isn't goal-oriented, that isn't, you know, penis in orifice.
Right. Or every time you're going to have an ejaculation, sometimes you can just play.
Or every time someone has an orgasm,
right.
And if they don't, then we failed. Getting away from that, and it just takes the pressure off the table and then more pleasure can be had. It's wonderful.
It is actually way better when there's no pressure. You just feel a release.
Yeah.
There's no shame in it. Just like, I want to play. I want to have fun. I want to feel good.
And we've talked about that on our, I forgot which podcast number it was. Oh, Sexy Talk. Was that number 4? Praise the Pussy and Sexy Talk. Because we were doing sexy instead of dirty. Another way to get rid of pressure when you're sucking a cock, rubbing a cock, whatever it is to let them know that, what do we say? I could do this all day
long.
Yeah. Like I
all
what,
night.
Whether your cock is hard or something, like I just love your cock. I love the taste of your cock. I love having your cock in my mouth. I love having your cock in my pussy, in my ass, whatever it is, whatever you're doing. Praising.
Praise it.
Yeah, praising, and also praising in a way that gets rid of the time limit, that like I could do this all day thing. It isn't that you have to hurry up. And I hope, again, they don't hold you to it, because most bodies don't want to do that all day. But whatever you can do.
And if you do have somewhere to be, just be like, let's pick this up where we left off later today. Yeah. I have to go to work right now, unfortunately.
I could do this all day
except for right now. Oh, no.
Yes. And we're done. So, yeah, whatever you can do to get rid of the shame. And this is where communication comes into play. So whenever we have silent sex, which can be hot on its own, of course. But sometimes you miss out on the opportunity to praise and connect and also understand and learn.
Right.
Yeah. So have conversations.
So praise that cock.
Talk about that dick.
Talk about that dick.
Thank you for listening to our first session of dick sucking.
Dick sucking.
Not just sucking. Dick loving.
Dick.
Dick praising. Yeah, dick praising.
Dick diving.
Dick. We love the dick.
We just are all about the dick on this podcast.
And we realized we were intended for this to be one podcast, and we realized that there's so much to say about the dick. So we're actually going to turn this in two. So we're going to cut it at this point and then invite you to tune in next week for Dick Love 2.0
yes. And every Tuesday we launch a new podcast. So tune in every week with me and Amy and all the dicka. Ciao for now.